Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Shyam Metalics and Energy Limited, hosted by MUFG Intime. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Harlalka, Head IR, Shyam Metalics. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I, Pankaj Harlalka, Head of Investor Relations at Shyam Metalics, wish you all a very good afternoon and a warm welcome to the fourth quarter FY25 post-results conference call. Before we delve into discussing the quarterly numbers, I hope you all had an opportunity to review our press release and the attendant investor presentation read along with the Safe Harbor Statement, which are available under the investor section of our website, and the same are accessible in the BSE and NSE websites. To discuss the fourth quarter and full-year results FY25, I am joined by Mr. Brij Bhushan Agarwal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Executive Director of Finance and Compliance, and Mr. Sumit Khaitan from Orient Capital, our investor relations partner. Now, I would like to invite Brij Bhushan ji to provide his perspective on the performance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good evening. Namaskar to all our valued investors and Parivar of Shyam Metalics family, especially for those who are going through this difficult time near the border. All the best wishes, and it is a very, very crucial moment for our state as we are going with a lot of challenges, and with our capability, our governance of the country, we are pretty sure that we will come with a very good output outcome, and thank you and Jai Hind to all. I am pleased to report that despite ongoing macroeconomic challenges, we have delivered a resilient performance this quarter. Our revenue grew 15% year-on-year, while the EBITDA recorded a strong 17% year-on-year growth. This was driven by our focus on the operational efficiency, disciplined cost management, and maintaining a balanced product mix. In line with our growth strategy and better service to our customer, we inaugurated our new corporate office in Taratala, Calcutta, this quarter. This office will serve as a hub of sales, customer engagement, regional operations, strengthening our presence and responsiveness across India. A significant highlight this quarter was launched by our new range of color-coated roofing sheet under ACL Tiger brand, introduced in the variant of Royal Elite, Azure, Alpha, a different brand, a different category, and product and price mix. Manufactured at the Art of Cold Rolling Mill facility with the most modern technology, utilizing the best resources so that in the time to come, we can overcome and prove ourselves as we have done in our past business with the best product at the best price. This launch further expands our value-added product portfolio, catering to rising demand in the construction and industrial sector. Since we all know that we have a huge distribution network across key regions, as it catered in the same supply chain management with a dealer-distributorship network, we expect that it will strengthen our supply chain management and create more comfort and confidence of our customer, dealer, distributor, and entire supply chain management. We have also ventured into a B2C market and launched a food-grade aluminum foil under ACL Tiger Foil, produced at our Jharkhand plant. With the demand of aluminum foil in the food business, we expect that we should be growing around 8 to 10% CAGR by 2030, and we will be well positioned to capitalize on the rising demand and emerging opportunity in this sector. Our blast furnace facility in Jamuria also got commissioned in Q3 FY25 and continued to operate efficiently, leading to a pig iron sale in this last quarter. With full year, we will achieve more than 100% efficiency for the year 2025-26. I'm very happy to share that today, in a very few months of operation, we have achieved 100% capacity, and we expect that we should be overcoming the 100% into 110% capacity for this year. We believe our strength lies in driving efficiency through both vertical and horizontal integration, enabling us to enhance the profitability and diversity of our customer base and reduce more cost and increase the more efficiency. Our continued focus on the backward integration will further boost operational efficiency and increase the revenue contribution from our final products. Our production capacity has remained robust, reflecting our commitment to the operational excellence and continuous investment in the advanced technology and repeated upgradation and modernization. On the regulatory front, we welcome the government decision to impose a safeguard duty on the aluminium foil imports from China. This policy is very positive step to support the domestic manufacturer by mitigating unfair pricing pressure. With our established aluminium foil production facility, we are well positioned to benefit from stronger domestic demand and improve market dynamics. We remain fully committed to execute our growth plan. As of FY25, we have incurred a capex of 6,584 crores, representing our 66% of our planned expenditure. We have capitalized 4,908 crores. As on date, our ongoing projects are progressing well and we anticipate their timely completion. We expect the majority of our carbon steel capex to be operational by FY26, while our stainless steel and aluminium capex are targeted to be commissioned by FY27. These investments are aligned with our broader strategy of integration, operational efficiency and sustainability. In conclusion, we are proud of the way of our team continues to deliver in the challenging environment while staying focused on the building and stronger future. By consistently executing strategic projects that boost volume and optimize efficiency, we are positioned to achieve a minimum 50% CAGR annually. Thank you for your continued support. We look forward to engaging you in the quarter ahead. Now, I conclude my speech and would request our CFO, Mr. Deepak Kumar Agarwal, to take us through our financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A very good evening to all. I will give a quick review of the reported consolidated financials for the quarter under review and for the year ended of the financial year 24-25. On a consolidated basis of the company for the quarter 4 of the 25 reported an operating revenue of 4,539 crore, a growth of 15% over quarter 4 of the last financial year. Like in the previous quarter, in quarter 4 too, we have been able to sell higher percentage of volume sales of finished steel at a higher realization, which has enabled the company to grow in terms of revenue and EBITDA over the previous quarter. As a result, our EBITDA for quarter 4 of the financial year 25-24 on a consolidated basis was at rupees 515 crore, growth of 17% over quarter 4 of the last financial year and a growth of 13% over quarter 3 of the last financial year. There has been a decrease in the realization across steel product in the range of 3-5% in the financial year 24-25 as compared to financial year 23-24. However, on the back of increased realization in aluminium foil product and stainless steel, we have been able to maintain the gross margin at 27.7% in the financial year 24-25 as against 28.2% in the financial year 23-24. The same has also been possible owing to the simultaneously reductions in per ton cost of our major raw material. We have reported a good EBITDA for the quarter 4 of the financial year 24-25 in comparison with the previous quarter. In order to maintain this growth in EBITDA number, we have been judicious and cautious on all other cost components. We quarter 4-25 on a consolidated basis, we reported an EBITDA margin of 12.5%, which is 30 basis higher on a year-on-year basis and 40 basis point higher when compared on a quarter-on-quarter basis. For the year ended 2025, we reported a revenue of 15,138 crore, growth of 15% over the last year. On the EBITDA front, from our company reported an EBITDA of 2,097 crore as against the EBITDA of 1,729 crore for the year ended 23-24, an upside of 21.2%. We have reported a net profit degrowth of 11.6% for the year over the previous year, 23-24. This is basically on account of adjustment of brought forward losses carry forward on account of acquisition of Mittal Corp during the financial year 23-24, which has been adjusted against the tax arises. That's why there is a degrowth on account of net profit when we compare with the financial year 23-24 to 24-25. We could achieve the above margin owing to increase in our steel volume growth, contribution from the stainless and aluminium foil segment. In the financial year 2025, our working capital days is 22 as against 12 days at the end of the financial year 2024. This is against the backdrop of introductions of blast furnace, color-coated sheet and stainless steel. In spite of diversification in the product profile, the working capital days have just slightly increased. Similarly, we have achieved the massive improvement to our capital efficiency during the first half, and the same trend is being perpetuated. Our ROC, ROE at the end of the financial year 2025 are at 15% and 14% respectively. The gross debt to equity, which was at 0.06x at the end of the financial year 2024, is slightly higher at 0.07x at the end of the financial year 2024-25. Our net cash positions is 1,062 crore as on 31st March 2025 as against the gross debt of 768 crore as we have cash and cash equivalent along with the long-term investments worth ₹1,830 crore. We have incurred a capital expenditure of 1,944 crore as against the expenditure of 1,578 crore in the financial year 23-24 on the declared projects. From the net cash flow from the operating activity of ₹1,964 crore during the financial year 2024-25. We have spent the entire amount the CapEx undertake at our company. I am glad to share that the financial risk profile of the company is very, very strong. Our strategy has always been to incur capital expenditure in smaller doses in a peaceful manner to ensure the balance sheet is never strained. At all point of time, we closely monitor the liquidity, solvency and capital efficiency ratio. I would like to assure you that the company sustains a healthy financial risk profile despite pursuing sizable capital expenditure plan. Out of the 10,025 crore of capex announced since IPO, we have already cumulatively incurred the amount of 6,584 crore, which is entirely from the internal accrual up to the financial year 2025, and capitalized out of this 6,584 crore, we have capitalized till date is 4,908 crore worth of assets. We have completed the 66% of the announced capex. The remaining 3,904 crore shall be expended over a period of next two financial years, with the majority of carbon steel related capex being completed in the current financial year, that is 25-26. The capex relating to aluminium and stainless steel to be completed in the financial year 26-27. We spent 2,130 crore on a capex this year, and for the next year capex spend is expected on a similar line. Aided by the internal cash generation and sufficient liquid surplus, which will ensure we take only limited debt in the event of any fund flow mismatch. I would like to assure you that the bank limit utilizations at the consolidated level is expected to remain moderate going forward too. Also, the annual cash accrual should suffice for the capital expenditure requirement and debt repayment. Based on the implementation of projects underway, we are bound to see an upstick on our EBITDA, which shall positively and directly increase in our return on equity and return on capital employed. As you all aware that for many years, we have been following a prudent capital allocation policy by which 70% of the cash generated is returned back into the business, 20% is retained as a liquidity surplus, and 10% is returned to our esteemed shareholder as a dividend. On the back of good operating and financial performance with a strong net cash flow from the operating activity of the company, in its board meeting declared a final dividend per share of ₹2.25 per share, subject to the shareholder approval in the ensuing annual general meeting. We shall have a dividend outgo of around 125 crore for the financial year 25-24-25, including the dividend of ₹2.25 per share, which was declared earlier in the form of interim dividend. Now I conclude my portion of update and throw the floor open for question and session. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like the management's line has got disconnected. Please wait till I connect. We have the management's line with us. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers in a very challenging backdrop. Two questions from my side. Now, if I look at your CAPEX execution, it has been excellent. In next 2 years, possibly this leg of CAPEX would get over. Just wanted to understand, what is the next that we can look at? Because 2 years, possibly things will get over, but I believe, you might be thinking of the next leg of growth for the company. So just wanted to understand the key areas for the same. And in slide number 21-22, where you have so nicely highlighted the expected sales volume, just wanted to understand, if today's prices are taken in context, then what kind of revenue EBITDA we can look at by FY27? This is my first question.
Sir, are you talking to Mr. Brijbhushan Agarwal?
Yes.
Okay, just hold on, sir.
Yes, Amit.
Yes, sir. I will just repeat the question. Possibly, I was not able to connect.
Yeah, I lost the... Yeah.
So the question is that, the CAPEX plan that was outlined, 66% we have already achieved. Over next 2 years, we will achieve the residual CAPEX. So just wanted to understand what is the next leg of growth that you are looking at? What all sectors or subsectors that you are targeting? And also in slide 21 and 22, you have laid out very nicely the sales volume, expected sales volume by FY27. If we take today's prices in context, then what kind of revenue EBITDA we can look at the company level in FY27?
Investment, what Shyam Metalics is foraying is on the aluminium sector. we are going backward integration in the aluminium, putting up a foil stock plant. We are increasing the foil capacity 2.5 times. And we are also going forward foil capacity in putting up the aluminium fins and value addition product, which is going to strengthen the aluminium business, and which we see that in FY27, aluminium business should have a very decent revenue and a good margin business we will be able to cultivate as we are going backward, reducing the price and cost of our existing business, also increasing and enhancing the capacity of our existing business and adding more value addition like aluminium fins, which is a very interesting product, which is as on date 100% import, and we are seeing a lot of air conditioning industries are coming up. A lot of cooling towers, air cooling towers, a lot of businesses are getting developed. And in the time to come, I see a very robust demand because it's a laminated foil, very high tech, and today nobody in the country is doing that. Now, our second major investment is coming up in the stainless steel. As you know, we have commissioned the stainless steel plant from the NCLT, a thick plant, and now in last 1.5-2 years we have learned the operations, and this year we expect that we should be able to do a revenue of close to 1300 to 1400 crores this year. And in the stainless steel, now from the long product we are getting into a flat product. We are setting up a complete steel melting shop where we will be using our existing iron, our captive power, our specialty alloy, other general ferroalloys, and only nickel is a product which we might have to buy from the market, or we will be focusing more than 60% on the 200 and 400 series, which is almost a nickel free. There is no much nickel requirement, or it is a nickel free product. In stainless steel, we are putting up a flat product mill. We are putting up complete downstream where we can cater to the tube market, to the high segment precision steel in the stainless steel sector, which is used for the decorative steel in the railways, in lot of other businesses, in the defense, lot of requirements are there. So we should be able to cater into that market. So this product is also very, very interesting, and it is a downward and upstream, both integration of our existing plant, and it is coming up in the brownfield existing location, and we don't see any challenge in setting up this plant. The third utmost what we are doing right now is we are increasing the capacity of our color-coated plant. It is very interesting that we just commissioned the plant in the last quarter of the last year. And last month we achieved almost 90% capacity utilization. Our product is well accepted in the market, and now we are gearing up for high value added product in the existing product, and also doubling the capacity of the existing HR color coated gal volume business what we have commissioned last year. Apart from that, we are adding more DRI facilities, which is already shared in our earlier projection with the captive power plant, because we will be requiring a lot of power to run our existing aluminium plants and other plants, so we will be generating the power from the waste heat, and also we will be able to cater to our existing downstream facilities of aluminium as well as the stainless steel facility. So this is what is the major capex we have outlay in the present businesses, which is pending, and we expect that in next 1.5-2 years we'll be able to complete that capex. Thank you.
To answer the second portion, Amitji, basically if you look at the revenue expectation post 27 based on current realization is about anything between 22,000 to 23,000 crores, and EBITDA we are currently this year at about 1866 crores. So it should be anything between 2800 to 3200 crores.
Wonderful. The second question is for Deepak Jain. This year we saw an inventory buildup. I mean, inventory days have gone up. And you mentioned in your prepared remarks that this is due to the new verticals coming up. So just wanted to understand that whether this is the normal inventory that we should work with around 100 days, or there is a chance for working capital unlocking, inventory unlocking rather, as we go ahead.
The inventory days will be in terms of the new upcoming project. The inventory day will be hovering in between 90 to 100 days.
Okay, sir. Got it. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Congratulations to the management. I think it's a pretty good set of numbers in the current environment. So, Bhushanji, I missed a little bit of your initial remark, and I also what I heard that April has been pretty solid and strong for specifically for your blast furnace, etc. But what I want to ask over here is that, you know, while your performance has been very strong for the quarter, is it fair to assume that it has built over the months? Because, you know, some of your capacities have come in past few months. So, you know, is it March maybe stronger than Feb, maybe stronger than Jan? Or was it, you know, pretty homogeneous?
I'd say it is totally cumulative only, because market was also end of fourth quarter. Always, you know, we see the markets are always on the better side. The demand was also very good. The realization also improved, no doubt. Also, there were a lot of changes and improvement in the efficiency side, in the from the cost side, and also the new value-added products. You know, we are regularly innovating, like in pig iron also, we are making some great foundry materials and high value-added pig iron. So a lot of thing has cumulatively contributed. Thank you.
Right, sir. So basically, the reason I'm trying to ask is it will help me understand how the 1Q is going to be. Like, you know, how strong the March or April is. Any color on that, like in terms of numbers?
It is, market is not bad, I would say. And I expect that there will be a volume growth. The revenue growth will be also there in this Q1. And I'm pretty optimistic, like everything is looking very positive.
We can expect Q-on-Q growth, right, in 1Q? With the,
Yes, we can. Yeah, we can expect, yeah.
As utilization goes up for all your new capacities, right?
Perfect. Perfect. Correct.
Yeah, so that actually, yeah, for sure. Sir, broader, I think this is a question from Deepak Ji. Deepak Ji, can you put in numbers, like what kind of CapEx we are looking for FY 2026 and key areas?
Yeah. The remaining CapEx of around 3,000 crore, out of the 3,000 crore, the 2,000 crore of CapEx will be incurred during the financial year 2025-26, which comprising of captive power, solar, and this comprise finished steel, 413 crore, stainless steel, 784 crore, aluminum, 126 crore, which all conclude is there is a CapEx of 2,010 crore.
Got it, sir. Got it. All right. One more question on the CapEx front, and now I'm going back to the Bhushan Ji. I think Amit tried asking you the same thing. See, sir, these are some of the CapEx plans which we know, right? But, you know, theoretically, I'm not asking you to guide us, but theoretically, where else and what else you can do? You know, because there is enough cash and, you know, now we almost done a large part of our CapEx, which we announced a few years back. So, you know, what other things we can think about? I'm not. So I'm just putting like a theoretically, not necessarily, you know, telling you to commit, but what are the areas which we can evaluate? Let me put it this way, you know.
Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah. Now I'm asking sir if he's there.
Yeah. Pankaj.
Yeah, so I'll take it on behalf of sir till he joins. So basically, Sharinji, we have been contemplating a few things. Obviously,
can you please repeat the question, Sharin? Yeah.
Sure. Bhushanji, basically, I'm trying to get things more from you. I think Amit tried, right, to get more from you. So let's say theoretically, no guidance, but theoretically, what are the other investment areas beyond what you have already announced, right, which you can explore, you know, whether in aluminium or in steel or whatever, right, like wire or HRC or anything what you can talk about, yeah. Right, or, you know, existing products. Theoretically, what all you can
in
explore?
The stainless steel long product, we have recently commissioned the wire division and the bright bar division.
Right.
These wires are all very high precision wires, which has an incredible export market and has a very unique utilization, and very few limited companies are there in the country. So we just commissioned the plant now. Bright bar and wire, and we expect that, you know, it will take close to 3 months to 6 months to stabilize, because it has a lot of high esteem buyers which has their rules and regulations of approvals and all. So this is one thing what we are doing in the long product of stainless steel. In aluminium, as we said, that we have already been approved in the battery foil business, and mm-hmm. we expect that, you know, once we see any battery plant commission, so we will be, as on date, we are only the choice in the country who has been approved and is well established to supply the battery foil in the EV battery space. Apart from that, if you see down the line, all our new investment, what we did was we cultivated hardly a couple of years before. It is majorly focusing on the high value businesses in the terms of delta. Also, if you see the ROC of these businesses are very high, because if you think of setting up a 500,000 ton of stainless steel plant, you know, any 500,000 ton of stainless steel plant won't have cost close to around 6,000 crores, because stainless steel is a very unique product. But since we had all the establishment of power plant, steel making, specialty alloy, land, everything. So, you know, at a very minimalistic cost, you know, we are doing 500,000 ton. So it's close to around, 1500 crores. So all this business has a very high ROC, and also it is very well integrated with our backward and forward, because if you have your own raw material, then your inventory cost, your working capital cost, everything is very well taken care of. Then, apart from that, you know, we are adding a lot of, energy, you know, power plants. As you know, we have a coal washery and we generate a lot of rejects. So since we are adding the DRI capacity, we need to add our power plant to consume that middling and rejects, which is a byproduct of our washery division. So all these things is, you know, all along cumulatively is increasing and enhancing the bottom line, and also getting integrated in the numbers of the total consolidation. Thank you.
All right, sir.
In addition to this, I would also like to share you that since we have a capital allocation policy and we are generating cash of more than 2,000 crore year-on-year basis, and 70% to 80% further it will be reinvested in the business. As you said, ki after 2 years what we will done, we will definitely announce various projects. Our capex team is already working on it, and we all, whatever we will invest, where the ROE and ROC would be more than 20% will be there. So we are working on it, and we will definitely shortly announce maybe next quarter or in the next quarter.
Got it. Deepakji, can I take this opportunity to ask a little bit more on your stainless steel wire? Few basic questions over there in terms of end market. The capacity, what kind of EBITDA per ton can we expect in that? And, how big is the opportunity?
See, Salim, we just have installed a very mid-sized capacity, because, you know, wire business and all, they take little time to develop.
Sure, sir.
But overall, I can tell you, comprising of wire and bright bar, our total installed capacity is close to 40,000 tons per year presently. And on an average, I can say that, once we establish our product and we are through with all the overcome all the challenges because we had put up the world-class facility, so there's no doubt. And since it is a forward and backward integration of our existing stainless steel long product division, which we have acquired through the NCLT, in Indore. So we expect that, close to 7,000 to 12,000 rupees per ton is going to be an average EBITDA. But there are certain products where we might fetch more than 30,000 rupees a ton. But what conservatively I'm sharing with you is we can say that it will be close to, average will be 10,000 to 12,000 tons.
Got it, sir. And sir, end market, end customer, yeah, end usage, any sense on that?
Huge, huge, the lot of export market is there. There are a lot of defense company which require wires. There are a lot of, in railways, a lot of requirement of wires are there on the machine side and also on the decorative side. So it has a very well spread. Wire is a very big segment in today's time.
Just last bit, sir, on this then. Is there an entry barrier in terms of the product qualification? Or do you think that that's not a big challenge?
No, it is a challenge. It is a challenge. Any of these, we are not talking of a commodity wire. In today's plant, we are making a, welding electrodes wire. Nobody, in the country is doing this. So we are the company who has developed the welding electrodes wire. Like, for all the welding electrodes, we make a special quality of wire, which used to be, was an import from outside. So all these wires, they have a very special application. I will not be able to share all the details because, I'm not directly day-to-day involved on the product side, but briefly I'm telling you. So it will not be right or appropriate from my end. But I can tell you, these are all the high niche wires. Decorative, a very big segment of this stainless steel wire, then, the defense, all the, in the construction also, in the specialized construction also, the stainless steel special quality wires are very much important, So in the machinery side, on the heat exchanger side, there are wires, filters. If you have seen the filters, So there are a lot of requirement are there on the automobile side also, Some components are there where these requirements are there. So it's a huge, wire is it's like an ocean. Like when we see all category of wires are there, but specialty wire has a very different market.
Right, sir. No, exactly. That's what I was trying to ask you. No, it's. I think it's very, very exciting, sir. I'll go back to the queue. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Your answers.
Thank you. Before I take the next question, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities.
Yeah, good evening all, and congratulations, Bhushan ji, on becoming the chairman of the company. So I had a couple of questions. One is the fact that the DI pipe plant, I think there is a time lag of about 1 to 1.5 years or 2 years before the plant kind of stabilizes, as per my understanding from the other persons who put up this plant. So will we see a period of losses for the DI plant, DI pipe plant, and is that incorporated in our estimates? That was the first question.
DI plant, yes, it takes around, nowadays it doesn't take 1 year to 1.5 years because, DI has become like a commodity. It is not more a very niche product, if you ask me. And all the past procedures, challenges in this industry is more or less sorted out. Since we have shifted this DI plant from our existing Jamuria to Ramsarup, which is near to the port and cost-wise it is more economical. And the downstream, because we have taken a Ramsarup plant where we had a blast furnace. and we want to create some product mix where, you know, we can set up a downstream product and all. So I don't see there is much challenges, you know, but yeah, it do takes time in setting up a plant of a DI. It takes close to 1.5 to 2 years, 6 months establishment time is good enough. And right now, all the rules and regulation, what was created by the old procedures, you know, is no more in the system. So it is not a very difficult thing to sell the market in the market. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And my other question was on the SS melt shop. You mentioned that we'll be focusing on the 200 and 400. So this will be a blast furnace. This will not be a scrap based. This will be a fully primary unit. Is that correct?
Primary unit? Yeah, correct.
Okay. So we will not be using scrap at all. We will be using pig iron or iron ore.
Yeah, yeah. We will be using the scrap in case we want to have a nickel, you know, because there are certain scrap. If you buy a virgin nickel, it is more expensive. So every stainless steel manufacturer globally, they source scrap to reduce the price of the nickel, because there are certain scrap where you get nickel at 60% of the normal value. So it depends. But, you know, we don't have much pressure of nickel because, you know, our major focus would be close to 200 or 400 series. And I expect that, you know, a certain stage you have a requirement of a nickel, that should also be available in our portal, because we can't allow a customer to go to another window for any other material which has a very low requirement.
And what about ferrochrome, sir? Will we have a ferrochrome plant as well, or will we be sourcing ferrochrome from outside?
No. We are already making ferrochrome, manganese, low carbon, specialty, all 80%, 89% of all the specialty products. We are the largest supplier to all the stainless steel companies globally, you know. We
are exporting. So it will all be coming in out. Yeah, for this plant.
Perfect. Yeah.
And sir, if I could hazard a strategic question on your capital allocation policy, you have a very low space for dividends. So are we fairly confident that we will be reaching the 20% ROC for our company, because we hardly see much dividend payout from this company? That was the last question. Thank you.
That is Mr. Deepak Agarwal's question. Please, Deepak, you call.
Yeah.
No, definitely. So we are already, if you look at last post-listing for since 21, we have doled out a dividend of around 11% as per our policy. And so we are always on the capex right now. So the if you look at a large capex happened in terms of blast furnace, which was like a spend of more than, you know, 1,200, 1,300 crores spread over 2 to 3 years. So that is why the ROE was lower. I think going forward, things will be back to normal as far as overall company ROE is concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi sir. One of the earlier questions you had answered in terms of the expected EBITDA when you reach this the full volumes in FY27 of close to 3200 crore. But if you actually look at your volumes and the mix as well, the finished steel capacity is doubling. Your stainless steel is coming up entirely in FY27, and aluminium also is doubling. Only the carbon steel intermediate products is where you have 20% growth overall. Ideally, does the 3200 crore number is a very conservative number, but ideally it should be closer to that 4000 crore, given that are already at a run rate of 2000 crore EBITDA on an annual basis.
Yeah, you are right, Anupam,
Anupam, Pankaj said 2800 to 3200.
Yeah.
We would love to talk conservative. Like if you see in last 3 years in Shyam Metalic, our deliverable is 120%. Like, you know, when we did an IPO, the revenue of the company just 3.5 years before was 6,000 crores. And next year we are talking of 18,000 crores. Our EBITDA that time was close to 600 crores. This year we are talking, you know, more than, you know, close to 1800 to 2000 crores. We would love to be conservative because, you know, you never know what kind of changes happen in the geopolitical situation. And we want to be pretty sure that our deliverables and our commitment should not disappoint our investors. Though we will give our best shot, and let us keep this in the trade, in the business, like, you know, how the market reacts, how the pricing goes up, how the raw material things happen, so that in the time to come, we should be able to deliver more and more what we commit.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Just one question related to that, since you mentioned that you want to be conservative here. Apart from macro, any specific thing which you worry about in terms of, let's say, so far the execution has been very great in terms of how the CapEx has been implemented. But any other risk which you worry about to achieve this sort of growth which you have indicated?
I am only worried about my investors. They should be happy. That's all. I'm only concerned that whatever we promise, we should be able to deliver more, and investors should be more and more happy. I'm
sure,
actually
sir.
Not bothered at all. I think we are pretty mature, and if you see last so many years, so many quarters, we have seen, like, with the best of the metal company vis-a-vis the Shyam Metalics, year on year, quarter on quarter, we had ever tried our best to deliver more and more better. So I think now our investors should have a pronounced confidence on their company, like on our deliverables, on our capex plan, on our dividend policies and all. What we stated 3.5 years before, we are trying to maintain as per our commitment and what we foray. We had forecast for 3 years.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rudraksh Raheja from iThought PMS. Before that, I would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question pertains to the DIE pipes industry. 12 to 15 states have started accepting OPVC pipes. So how do you think that affects DIE pipes industry?
Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, I'll repeat it. I wanted to ask about how OPVC pipes introduction affect the DI pipes industry, since we are expanding into that product.
Very correct. It is affecting. It is affecting, and in the time to come, it will have a great competition with the DI pipe below 300 size. So if you see, today, a complete DI plant, if you think of establishing a complete DI plant with a sinter plant, blast furnace, infrastructure and all, it is not going to cost you less than 2000 crores. But in our case, a small capacity of DI plant is just a kind of a ancillary to our existing brownfield project what we acquired through the NCLT. So if we are able to, like DI pipe has been able to gain the EBITDA of close to 18-20,000 rupees a ton in last 1 year, and presently I think it is struggling between 7-8,000 to 10,000 rupees a ton. I'm telling you a ballpark figure. I'm not 100% sure, but yes, 95%. If we invest on 300,000 tons capacity, close to 350 or 400 crores, and if I am able to gain the EBITDA of, say, 5,000 crores, 5,000 rupees a ton, we make close to 150 crores EBITDA every year. So if you see the ROC, ROI on my additional investment on DI, which helps us to de-risk our business, which help us to space ourselves in the product, and which is a very small investment for such a conglomerate like Shyam Metalics, in the terms of the future opportunity, also in the terms of utilization of our existing hot metal. So this is one of the idea what I have, but you are very correct. This is a challenge and this is going to be a strong challenge in the time to come. But OPVC has always been in the international market for donkeys of years. If you go to any of the Western country, but there are certain areas where still the DI is the major pipe which is being procured and utilized. So we would like to restrict ourselves with the minimalistic and conservative capex in the first go, so that this period we should be able to regain, and in the worst of the time, if we discount ourselves on the 50% of our ambition, then also our ROC and ROI is very interesting. So this is the reason like we are absolutely optimistic on this business.
Got it, sir. Regarding this, sir, which sizes do you think that are getting most affected in this segment, or
Below 350, this is close to around 40 to 50%.
So you, just to clarify, you are saying 40 to 50% of the industry is being affected.
Dheere dheere affected nahi hai, matlab 40 to 50, but still there are sizes of 80 to 350 where people are using DI. They have not rejected it. Like if I am putting up a steel plant, I need a water supply, I will definitely like to put up a DI plant. DI pipe, not the OPVC pipe. So it depends on the usage, the area, the concern of the utilization and all. So it all has a unique, you know, properties. Like, you know, you can't 100% replace it, but yes, in certain places, it can be replaced. When it is an open space, you can't put up a plastic pipe. OPVC is just a plastic pipe. But in the open place, DI is very well installed and it is as good as, you know, the hard surface. So there are certain areas, you know, where you can replace, but yet it is a challenge. I completely agree with you.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thanks for the clarification.
Anji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshant B. from DB Wealth. Please proceed.
Hi, congratulations, sir. I want to understand from a larger term perspective. Of course, you are a growth company and we have always portrayed a good growth scenario and also deliver on a good growth scenario while being conservative. But our margins are still at 12% and we have an outlook to be doing capex which is going to be enhanced. But what do you think FY27, what kind of margins can we be expecting from our business on a steady state, not any, you know, cycle gains that we get, but on a steady state, what kind of margin improvements can we expect?
See, margin is a very, very speculative statement as on date. It is, but we have to understand that in the toughest scenario, the company has delivered a decent margin and now whatever the future growth is there, it is coming up with a high value added businesses. So margin is definitely going to enhance. Apart from that, if you see all the future businesses, investment is also helping us to drive down in the cost side by adding, you know, the backward integration or the forward integration so that the realistic value in that business is also increasing. So it is going to increase, but at this point of time, I will not be able to state like, you know, whether it will be 20% or 15% or blah, blah, blah. So, but yes, definitely the trend is going on the upward side. That much I can tell you.
Nay, sir, I completely understand that, and it would be unfair for me to ask you something where it's so speculative, but what I'm trying to understand here is that let's assume that the businesses that we are going in, they are live today, and in current market situation, what kind of margin we would have expected?
It's all okay, right? We have been always conservative of our projections. So I'm not, till I'm getting a good ROI and the ROC, you know, I'm happy, IRR. So margin, you know, I told you, you know, it's very volatile. So it depends on the demand, supply, geopolitical situation. And today's time since last 2-3 years, nothing is going uniform across the planet. So in spite of that, in spite of so much challenges, you know, if you see quarter after quarter, if you compare your company with the best of the metal companies, you know, I'm not saying we are the best, but we are among the best. So,
no, certainly, sir, certainly.
Thank you.
Sir, a follow-up question here is, do you think that the sort of dumping, if happens, of course, we or our government has been able to help us a lot, but if there is any sort of dumping that does happen, do you think that affects us in our particular product ranges?
Majorly not, because, you know, if you see in our business product module, a very less percentage of import threat is there. But overall, the psychological scenario do matter. Like, dumping was happening before, but you have never seen, you know, the numbers or the graph or the margins have come down. So this is a true example and explanatory to your question. But yes, anything on the positive side drive up, anything which is on the negative side also do affect. But in our business model where we are too much based on the Indian demands and the product what we had been doing is majorly the product which is consumed in the country and which doesn't have majorly an import, if you see on the total portfolio. So it do affect, but very marginally. Thank you.
Got it, sir. So my last question here is on depreciation. Of course, we judge ourselves by EBIT, ROC, ROI, and these sort of numbers. But is it only when the cycle turns and we get those windfall profits that we can expect our net profits to be in the higher range? Or, like, do you see a point of time where the depreciation growth tapers down and our operating profits are such high that the depreciation no longer really matters? Do you think that happening anytime soon?
In our balance sheet, if you see, the interest payout is marginal or it's hardly, you know, we are.
Gee.
So depreciation is just a statutory accounting norm. So if you should see the net cash, which is more important, you know.
Correct.
Most of the company in our terrain is with lot of debt baggage and lot of corporate debts and blah, blah, blah. So it really doesn't really bother us. We are more concerned on the net cash, which we make on the EBITDA side, and the after tax what is majorly is a net cash what is available.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. This is very helpful. Congratulations again.
Thank you. I have another meeting. Can we, how many questions we have now?
There is only one question in the question queue.
Okay, please. Yeah.
Okay, the next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please proceed.
You know, cash is important. So, is it possible to share the maintenance CapEx for this quarter or rather from next time onwards so that we can think about cash profit? Because optically, profit is looking lower, right? So we can at least know what's the cash profit. We can add back the depreciation and minus the maintenance CapEx. Right? So,
yeah.
Not now, but...
So Shalinji, this year, if you see... The capex was around 2148 crores, right? Of which the capex that we had announced for that, the capex was around 1944 crores. So we incurred about 200 crores out of maintenance capex this year, leading to improvements in our existing plants and all.
And how much was the depreciation? I can ask you. Accounting depreciation.
What did you ask, sir? How?
How much was the accounting depreciation? Depreciation on P&L?
Depreciation was around 700 crores, right?
Okay. So basically you're saying that X of maintenance capex, roughly 500 crores we can add to the PAT to come at the cash profit.
Correct, correct.
That's the way to see it, right?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Khetan from MUFG Intime for closing comments.
Answering all the queries today, we are from MUFG Intime, investor relation advisors to Shyam Metalics and Energy Limited. For any queries, please feel free to reach out to us. Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Shyam Metalics and Energy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.